Last 4 weeks we've talked about this. It's called baggage. No, it's not just simply something that you carry around that looks like this. It's really something that you carry around in here that makes you feel like you're holding all of this. We've been talking about for the last several weeks all this stuff, all this baggage that comes in our lives, that things that we have done or things that have been done to us and things that happen in our culture that we can't do anything about but begin to influence our ideologies, the ways we react, the things that we think that are so far off from where God would have us be that we've now found our identity more in the way of the world than when Jesus Christ said, go be light and salt in the earth. Amen? God has something so powerful for your life and my life. When we talk about a mission of being able to discover our purpose and make a difference in the world, the very first step that we have to do is to let go of some baggage so that we can actually see the purpose and the person God made us to be, right? So we spent this entire month, these 4 weeks and 21 days of prayer, praying for freedom. This Wednesday night, we'll gather again in this third and final Wednesday night of our time together in prayer. And I encourage you to come out because we really do want to let this go. So I ask you again, are you here today with an anticipation that God's going to move? And not just on someone else, but on you today. When I got up early in this morning, I just felt like, man, God's ready. We've been talking about all this stuff, and we're talking about how to let it go. And last week I asked you, I said, do you believe that God is a redeeming God? Do you believe that God is powerful and what God wants to do in your life and my life will set you free? So I asked you the question, do you believe God is a redeeming God? And we talked about what that means. It means that God wants to change your life. That's what redemption is, that he has paid a price, and through that price, he's going to be able to move you from here to here. And we looked at 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Do you believe this? Not some remnant of it, not some Band-Aid version, but a new creation. It means that God is creating something brand new in you that will formulate itself, be seen by the eye, be felt in your spirit and your soul, changed. And he says, the old has passed away, and all of this is from God. Hear clearly, all of this is from God. It is not from you. See, the challenge that we've had is we try to fix ourselves. We're in a self-help world. And it has its limitations. And its limitations is you and me. It's as far as we can take ourselves, but that's not what God's trying to do. See, when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, when you are a believer in the Christian faith, what you're saying is God is more powerful than you. It's not some religion to say, if you can just get better yourself. It's about a God who's come into the world, created the world. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, and he wants to make a move in your life and my life. And I have a relationship with the world mover to move and shape my life. Isn't that good? Yeah, it's worth applause because it's about him. That's what I want you to anticipate today. I want you to anticipate that power. Paul writes it this way in the 16th chapter of Romans. He says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. It means that is not of your deserving. It's what he will do. And when we have all of this stuff, and what we see in the world is the move of Satan in the midst of the world. But he says, as I showed you last week, he'll have us in this place. That your junk is something you stand on instead of it weighing you down. Now, last week we talked about the first step to make this turn. We said the first step to making this turn is to give yourself to Jesus Christ. And we said, what does that look like? And we talked about what that looks like to give yourself. If you missed the message, go back online and study that one. Be in the midst of it. If what does it mean to give yourself to Jesus Christ, to let him have this, to allow him to make you a new creation, because it's he that is doing it. Where I want to go today is that next installment that God has given to us. You see, God has given us two very huge gifts. One is the person of Jesus Christ, the one who is on the cross, who died for our sins. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him has eternal life and has a changed life. God has given us that gift, and it's Jesus then who gives us the gift of himself in a new way, and that gift is the power of the Holy Spirit. And many times we miss out on that gift. That's where I want to go today. That's why I want you to walk in here today and be prepared and anticipate a move of God in your life. I've been doing this for a while. And what saddens my heart is the thousands of Christians that I meet constantly that move from one despair to the next. When we have the most incredible God of all creation that has come to us, that wants to dwell in us, to make his home in us. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I'll come in. And yet we live defeated. We live discouraged. We live as though God's not powerful. Or we got our light under the bushel, as the old song goes. And no one can see it because we walk around and we look like everything's bad. Or that our addictions have gotten the best of us and that our baggage weighs us down. And we make excuses for it, like I talked about last week, and begin to say, well, this is just who I am. And we don't live as a new creation. We kill. I live with a Band-Aid on the old creation. That's not where God wants you. You know, that might be the world. It might be those who don't believe in Christ. But if you said, I believe in Jesus Christ, why do you settle for that? And yet I see it over and over and over. Have some anticipation that God has more today in your life. And God can make, I've often told Marilyn as I've come here in the stage, and said, I can preach all my life, but God can do more in an instant through the Holy Spirit in every one of you than I could do preaching to you for 30 years. Get me out of the way and let him move. Do you believe that he can move in your life? Here's the problem. We are flesh. We look around and we see each other, and we see each other with the eyes, and we know in ourselves what's happened and what's gone on, and we carry. But when God created us, he didn't just create us as flesh. He created us as flesh and spirit. When we get to heaven, for those of you who believe in Jesus Christ, God has given you a gift, and that gift is the salvation of your sin and eternity with him in heaven. When we get to heaven, we don't have flesh anymore. We're not controlled and moved by the wants and desires and cravings that this body called the flesh has. See, flesh isn't just what you look at. Flesh is how you respond. The Bible calls the flesh is our carnal beings. All animals have flesh and they act like it. They react and act according to the flesh. They are not spiritual beings, but human beings, you and me, are created as flesh and spirit. When God says in the Bible, I want you to worship me with spirit and truth, he's saying, worship me out of the depths of spirit of your heart, not your flesh, okay? Because our flesh craves for us. Our spirit craves for God. Hear me, church? And if we don't have a craving for God, we don't have a craving for God to change us, we're just living in the flesh. See, that's the battle that goes on, and we live in the midst. We are people of that live in the midst of this world, but yet God has put us a spirit that will live with him forever, and the two battle each other. So we say, okay, how do we handle the battle? How do we live? Which wins and which loses? When I'm carrying all of this, we know who won. The flesh has won, and it's consumed my mind. When we see on the news all the ideologies that hate people and hurt people, we know that's won. The cravings of the flesh have won, and the ideologies of the world and identities of the world have won. We know that's not of God, because it's nowhere in the scripture that he teaches how to live that way. But he says, for you it will be different, because you belong to me. You belong to me. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Hear me, church? Hold that. And I love the word control. Let's just put it out there, because we know it's a matter of control. I want to be in control. I don't want something else to control me. If the Spirit moves in me, I might get out of control. I might act crazy or emotional. I might be like those people. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what we understand about ourselves and who God has created us to be. We're talking about how we live as light and salt in the midst of the world, not being crazy people, being God's people. That's identifiable and seen in powerful ways. Again, you are not controlled by your sinful nature, by the baggage nature, by all the stuff. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And listen, folks, what I want you to anticipate is, do you want the Spirit of God living in you? I know as Christians, oh, I got the Spirit of God. I would challenge that. Because if we have the Spirit of God living in each of us, then we're not carrying this around, and we're not living in our same old flesh or same old addictions. There's a problem that we have to address, is what we're allowing to control us. But it's a problem we get to address not all by ourselves. We get to address it with the gift of God's grace and mercy and Spirit. Wouldn't you love to be able to say, joy has invaded my life, and peace is my daily experience? Wouldn't you love that? Wouldn't you love to be able to say, I have victory in my life. I have put down and I keep down the baggage. And whatever new baggage comes, man, that just brushes off like water on a duck's back. My life no longer is this teeter-totter of emotion. I'm up one day and down the next day. It's solid and I have a foundation to cry. Wouldn't that be awesome? My pride is gone, and I can come easily before God, and I let him shape every part of me. Wouldn't that be awesome? You'd be able to say, I've got suffering, but I've got the hope of God in the midst of it. Wouldn't it be nice to say, man, I got struggles, but my God is strong, and he's walking me through it. Wouldn't it be able to say, good to say, my addictions are fading away. That's life in the Spirit. And we can say, well, I can't get there. It's because of the flesh. But God got what God has for you. And it's a very simple move. It's a movement from being controlled by the flesh to being controlled by the Spirit. And it's a matter of allowing the Holy Spirit to fill your life. And we're going to talk about the difference in a few moments, the difference between filling and the indwelling of the Spirit. Because many times we don't understand how the Spirit works. We think, man, I just got the Spirit, but I'm controlled by the flesh. That's not the case. The Spirit is powerful, and the Spirit wants to move and work in your life and my life. Now, let's just understand for a moment what we're talking about here. Because, see, our culture is kind of, well, culture's culture. The only way the culture understands Spirit is what's inside of you. And we tend to describe it like this. I went to the mountains and I saw the beauty and I had a spiritual experience. Or I went to a class and I learned to meditate and get in touch with my spirit. See, that's how we learn to understand it culturally. And the thing that that's doing is it's the same self-help program that almost every book in America talks about. Okay? Yes. If I can just meditate well enough, I can get my spirit to be at peace. How long does that last? And what we're dealing with here is still the same struggle. How do I stay in control? How do I self-fix myself? How do I put myself in position to be changed? But we're still limited by the power that resides in me, in my flesh. In the Bible, it never speaks about the Spirit like that, but that's the only way the world can understand the Spirit. In the Bible, whenever the Spirit is spoken of, it's not your spirit, it's the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit of God is something outside of you that comes with power and authority and moves into you. It fills into your spirit and changes you. Hear the difference? We can attend to our spirit all day long, but unless the Holy Spirit connects with our spirit by which we are created, spirit and flesh, then we are no more powerful and we have no more ability to get past this baggage and to move as light and salt in the world than we were before. Is that clear? It's real important to understand that if we are to begin to anticipate the Holy Spirit and the power of God's move in your life and in mine. When Jesus gave the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures, he speaks often about it. I encourage you to read about it. Just go on Google. Where's all the Holy Spirit spoken of? It'll show you all the passages. Do some study. Study it on your own. But one thing I know when he gathered the disciples after Jesus had risen from the dead and he had ascended into heaven 40 days after, he said before the ascension, I want you to gather in this upper room. When we were in Israel, those who were with me, we went to that place of the upper room. And that place physically where Jesus said, I want you to stay here 10 days. You're like, what are you going to do for 10 days? I want you to prepare for the Holy Spirit to fill you. In Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit came upon the church, it was a filling of the Holy Spirit, not an indwelling. We'll talk about the difference in a minute. It was a filling of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit filled the early church, there was a noticeable change that happened in them. And you see some of the notable change. Some of it was they could speak in other languages. They could proclaim the gospel. They were able to move and do wonders and signs. They were changed as a human being from this to this. They were filled. Peter, who had denied Jesus 3 times, could now preach radically, and thousands of people could come to know. You saw a physical difference because they were now filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what we're talking about. But there was a preparation. And this was the preparation. It's in your outline. Write it down. Because the filling of the Holy Spirit will not happen in your life and my life unless we are prepared. And here's the 3 keys that Jesus has them prepare. One is desire to please God. That might seem obvious, but it is not clear in our lives. Because our flesh, every morning when you awake in the flesh, your natural desire of the flesh is to what? Please yourself. That's the battle. And what they're learning is they're waiting for the Holy Spirit to fill them is to move consciously into a situation by which they're saying, my desire is to please God. I desire to please God. Say it over and over and over. Say it with me. I desire to please God. I desire to please God. Matthew chapter 5 writes all about it. Some of us here for you. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Or basically saying, blessed are those who are humble and come to God for God to fill them, that aren't prideful. I'm coming telling you, God, what to do. I am humble before you. In fact, one of the passages you had in 21 Days of Prayer this past week was, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. The one thing that God says for us to do, that's your work and my work, is to be humble. To humble myself says I need to get out of my flesh and need to look for God. I don't want God to humble me. I better do that myself, okay? Because if I don't do it myself, he will do it. But what I want him to do is exalt me, which means he's going to move me beyond this stuff. He's going to raise me higher than the baggage. You get it? So I want to please him. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's to please God. Those who hunger and thirst. It's the passion of the life. For they shall be satisfied. Okay, that's a move. It's a move. I want to please God. My desire is to please God. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. Our desire to please God. It's all over the Scriptures. You're getting yourself ready for the filling of the Holy Spirit. The second is this. Surrender your life totally to Jesus. Surrender's hard. We don't like to do it. It means we have to give up control. But the beautiful thing about it is surrender comes in two ways, willingly or unwillingly. Hear me, church? Comes in two ways, willingly or unwillingly. An unwilling surrender means an enemy has defeated me, and now I got no choice. Here I am. I'm under your authority and under your rule. You can get to a place by which this stuff and the stuff of the world is so heavy on you that you are defeated. And you got nothing left to do than to say, God, do something. Now, that can happen in your life, in my life. And sadly, it happens far too often. But there's another area, another way we surrender. One is a willing surrender. That's when you surrender to a great love. It's like when you're in an awesome relationship and you surrender to one another because of the love that you have for one another. I surrender my will and my way. I desire to please you. I desire to be with you. I know that in your arms, in your hands, I am protected. I am cared for. You long for the best for me. When we see Jesus on that cross and we know that he has given us everything and he's died for our sins, that he loves us despite what we think and what we've done, that is a surrender to his love. And we're like, God, if you are that good, here I am. Have with me according to your will. It's like Mary when the angel comes to her and says, you're going to be with child. And she says, let it be to me according to your will. That's a surrender, a willing surrender. What the disciples were preparing for the Holy Spirit, was a willing surrender. God, we have seen what you have done. And here we are. We know that your way and your will is far greater than my way and my will. Paul writes it this way in Romans. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That is a presentation. Here I am, God, everything I have. I'm presenting myself to you, holy and acceptable because of what you have done, which is now my spiritual worship. I will not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of the mind. And look at this next sentence. It says, by testing. What are you testing? By the Spirit of God working. The Spirit of God tests us and discerns what is good and acceptable and perfect. I want to be pleasing to you, and I want to surrender to your will. Third, confess all sin. We want the Holy Spirit to come in and fill our lives. The Holy Spirit and the flesh can't reside in the same place of control. Flesh has to give up control. That means I empty the sin. I'm honest with God. Listen, you may as well be honest with God. He already knows it, okay? No one makes a fool of God, the Bible says. God knows everything about you. All the dark corners that you don't want anybody else to know, God already knows. Just confess it to him. Say, God, I want you to come into that place too. And you know what that is. And I want to empty it, and I want you to fill me. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, here's the promise. If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and purify us from everything unrighteous. Hear that, church? Isn't that good? It just cleans it all up, and now we're empty. And if we are empty, God, I want to please you, so I'm empty of my agenda. God, I have surrendered, so I'm no longer the Lord of my life. I'm empty of that. And now I've let go of all this sin to you, and I got nothing else I'm holding on to. Now we're coming to God with a vessel ready to be what? Filled. Are you ready, church? Filled. No wonder the Holy Spirit came upon them so powerfully. They were ready to be filled. Are you? It may take you 10 days. I want you to anticipate filling of the Spirit. So how are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Simple. Through faith. Say that with me. Through faith. Through faith. What is faith? Faith is your desire to please God. It's your surrender to God. And it's the confession of everything you got, and you're going to go God's way. That's what faith is. I'm going your way, not my way. I'm going to trust you. And what we're saying is, I trust through faith that you're going to fill me. I don't have to beg for the Holy Spirit to come in my life. I don't have to barter or plead for God for the Holy Spirit of God. I just need to have faith. And I have faith in two things. One is the command. God has given a command. And we see that command coming lived out in what Paul writes to the Ephesians church, which is the Christians there. And he says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with what? Oh. Don't do this, but do this. So he just uses one image. Just don't be drunk with wine, because it's not saying don't drink wine. Don't be drunk with wine. See, debauchery or drunkenness is the problem. And let's just look at it in a bigger picture. It's called self-medication. What are you doing in the flesh to medicate yourself? Is it hatred? That's a form of medication. Is it drinking? Is it drugs? Is it pornography? Is it putting others down to build you up? All those are medication. Don't do that, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. See, there's a move from the flesh to the Spirit, and we have to be truthful. That's when we want to confess. God, what am I really medicating? I'm feeling better about myself today because I made somebody else feel worse. In a strange, odd way, we just self-medicated. Paul's talking about a bigger picture. Don't be drunk in that, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a command. The second is a promise. And the promise is that when we're filled with the Spirit, God will meet our need. We see it in John 14. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. Do you believe that, church? That's one of those passages going, whoa, that's impossible. Jesus was incredible. Yes, he is. But you're incredible too, because why? He dwells and lives and fills you up. You're not incredible because of you. You're incredible because of him. That's a good incredible. Let's make a movie on that kind of incredibles. Some of you got that. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Twice he says that. That's the promise. It's the promise that comes when we have what? Desired to please him, surrendered ourselves to his amazing love, confessed of our sins, said, God, I'm about your way, and God's saying, let's go. I will fill you, and we will walk together on this journey. Now, if you have asked the Lord Jesus in your life, if you've already said, Jesus is the Lord of my life, and I am following him, then he's already given you a gift. And the gift he's already given you is the power of the Holy Spirit to dwell in your life, different from filling, to dwell in your life. Take a look how Paul describes it in Ephesians chapter 1. Right off the point, Paul says this. In Jesus, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were what? Sealed. Say that with me. Sealed. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. That's different from being filled. Okay? There's a different thing going on here. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory? So what happened when you asked the Lord in your life and you came under his authority and you said, God, I want to follow you? He gave you a sealed gift of the Holy Spirit. This means that your salvation cannot be taken from you. This means that God has promised to forgive your sins, and he will always forgive your sins, and he has prepared a place for you, as he talks about in the Gospel of John. He's prepared a place for you in heaven. It's a guarantee, okay? Many people will ask, am I going to lose my salvation if I sin? No, you're not. You were sealed by the Holy Spirit. And the sealing, Paul used that language very clearly, because sealing meant several things. Sealing meant that it's guaranteed and genuine. The seal of approval is on it. A seal also meant that it belonged, that it was a part of belonging. If the king put his seal on something, it means it belonged to the king, okay? So what it means is you were sealed by the Holy Spirit, which means you don't belong to you anymore. You belong to him. He has sealed you, and because you belong to him, you are his child, and you're going to be in heaven with you forever. Isn't that great news? God has done that. You don't have to worry about that. And he's protected you. When Jesus was put in the tomb, the Roman guards were told, you must seal the tomb. Okay, the seal of the tomb means nobody mess with it. If you buy something from the store and the seal is broken, what makes you a little afraid, doesn't it? Who's been drinking this drink before I got it, right? The seal was a sign of protection. The seal of the Holy Spirit is your guarantee. It's a sign of protection. See, Paul is using very real earthly language to remind these people what the gift was given to them. Understand what you have. But I also understand what more you get to have. Because the question we must always ask, this is really important, church, is if I have the Spirit dwelling in me and I'm sealed with the Spirit, why am I not standing on my baggage? Why am I wrestling in my flesh every day? Why can't I move past this addiction in from this brokenness, from this thought pattern, from the desires of my flesh? Why am I still in this craving? It's a great question. I'm glad you asked. Because I'm going to tell you the answer. It's called the filling of the Holy Spirit. Is we can be sealed for eternity, but in this world still battle the flesh. Because we're living in the flesh rather than in the power of the Spirit. That's where Jesus gathered the disciples and says, there's something more you need before you can be salt and light in the world. You need to stay here and prepare for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And this will come in your life as you seek to please God, as you surrender yourself to him, as you confess your sins, and you desire not to be controlled by your flesh, but to be controlled by the Spirit. Hear that? And that is the theme all the way through the scriptures that Paul speaks about. He says you can be a slave to one or the other, but you can't be a slave to both. The Spirit cannot operate in your life and my life in this battle of the flesh simultaneously. I've either given authority to one or I've given authority to the other. So what we have to wrestle with is each day we have a decision. Not a decision for our salvation. God's done that. We have a decision of control. And that decision is, today am I going after God? And I'm praying for the Holy Spirit to come in and lead my thoughts and my actions and my beings today. You see, the filling of the Holy Spirit is a continuous thing. Sealing is once and done. But the filling is something I need every day. It's for the renewing of my life. And it's the battle that happens in the flesh that's going on all the time. And I'm asking every day, not just on Sunday, God, fill me every single day. I'm in the rhythm and the pattern of reading God's word and out of his word, hearing his truth. And from his truth, asking the Holy Spirit, would you fill me today with this truth so I can have a change in my mind, in my ideology, in my identity, and in my thought pattern today? So two things. If you've never asked God through the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, that's your first step. To be sealed by the power of the Spirit, and that gift is for you. And when you do that, there are two things you will want to do. You see, Jesus says, blessed are those who not only hear the word, but do what it says. That's the blessing. You will want to be baptized, and you will want to enter into community so that you can grow in what God has shown you. And next Sunday, we'll be baptizing, and we'll have community groups for you to have an opportunity to grow in that. If you've already asked the Lord Jesus in your life, what you're now seeking of him is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And again, that's very simple. You don't need to beg or barter. You just say, God, my desire is to please you. I just surrender to your love agenda for my life. I confess all my sins. Fill me with your power of your Spirit. Our ability to resist the temptation and baggage in our lives is not a test of your will and your ability. It's not whether, you know, someone in this room is powerful or that they got their life together or they got it. Oh, he's stronger or she's stronger than me. It's not a test of your power. It's a test of your relationship. Your relationship with God. Jesus says in John chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, I will be in them. They will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That's the fallacy of our culture, is that we can do something kingdom agenda because we already have are in touch with our spirit and our flesh. We're already having spiritual experiences. This is not about you. It's about God. It's about his power and his alignment in your life. Paul writes in Galatians, it begins to look like this. It produces this kind of fruit in your lives. Love and joy and peace and patience. Imagine that. Love instead of hate. Imagine joy instead of despair. Imagine peace instead of aggravation. Imagine patience instead of longing that keeps in your life all the time. Imagine goodness and gentleness. Imagine self-control, not having to be in this craving place. God, you've changed that in my life. You get that. It's seeable. It's viewable. And when you ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, you will see, I guarantee you, a change. You will see a new creation begin to be born in your life. That's the anticipation I want you to have. That is an absolute guarantee. You will see the change. In the scriptures, you see it happening all throughout. You see new decisions being made. You see wisdom happening. Just read it all. When the Spirit came upon them, they did fill in the blank. It's because they were filled. So is true for you and me. That's a gift God has given to us. So I ask you, today in anticipation, do you finally desire the deep sense of wanting to be free and to have this power of God moving and working in your life? It is for you. What we want to provide for you today is that opportunity. It's nothing weird. It's God. Receiving the Holy Spirit fill in your life is not necessarily an emotional response. It's an obedience. It's being subject to him. I want to ask the worship team to come on the stage. And they're going to prepare for you. And as they come on the stage, I want you to prepare your heart with those three things. Desire to please God, surrender to God, and to confess. To be in a place by which you say, God, fill me with your Spirit. As the worship team leads us in this next time of worship, I want to give you the opportunity to come up to this stage and you can just kneel on this the bottom step and just pray to God. This is between you and him. You can come and pray around the room. There are communion stations. God has made a promise in Holy Communion by which he said, as you take the bread and you dip it into the chalice, which is wine or grape juice, I am with you, I forgive you, and I will make you new. There will be communion servers there for you. Just go when you are ready. Show up at a station, and they will meet you with the promise and the command. Fill me. As you come up in prayer, prayer partners will come, and they'll just place their hand on your shoulder, and they will confirm what you're seeking God to do in your life. Don't miss this chance. Anticipate his move. Let the baggage be your footstool. Let your life be the light. Let your ways be like salt and leaven. Yes, that's you. It's your new creation. And all of you watching online, there's nothing like being here. But if you're watching out there, just get on your knees. Ask the Lord in your life. Say, God, fill me with your Spirit. And watch the change happen. God loves you, church. Worship team, lead us.